street. Underneath the moon feet.
Whoa, 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 whoa. Wait.
I'm sorry, Robert. I forgot to tell you that we were going to the fourth song, so. Okay.
You're singing a different. I'm way out of key, bro.
On a busy city street.
On a busy city street.
No, babe. You're going up on city.
On a busy city street.
Why can't I get this now?
Come get it.
On a busy city street. Okay. Alright, try it again, sorry.
On a busy city street.
Okay. Why the heck am I getting the wrong melody on?
On a busy city street, underneath the moving feet. If you look, you just might see what I see. It is written on the ground, almost lost within the crowd. But it won't stop crying out eternity. Can you hear it now? Ringing out across the city, hear the sound like a symphony. And it's crying now. And every single heart that's beating, this is what we were made. Passing by, I can't help but wonder why. We all live there, but there's only one lifetime. Can you hear it now? Ringing out across the city, hear the sound like a symphony.
Play a little bass there, do you? I think that's gonna help me sing for the bit real high. Just to... Sorry, I was off.
Awesome.
the busy city street, underneath the moving feet. If you look, you just might see what I see.
Okay. That'll help me with the chords.
All right. Thank you, everybody.
I just want to try one more thing.
Okay.
Can I just try that transition into that first song? I mean, to the third song.
Fullness. Yeah, we're going to transition from the second song into the third song.
Then you may be seated. All right. Now, there is no outline in the bulletin today, but this is a very, very special message. I want to ask you a question to start off, and the question is this: What were we made for? What were we made for? What is our purpose? Each and every one of you have a plan and a purpose to pursue in this life. None of you were an accident. Now, some of you may have been born an accident in your parents' eyes, our little accidents. Here's our little surprise. Well, there are no accidental children. There are some accidental parents. But none of you are an accident. None of you were a mistake. God has a plan and a purpose from the moment you were conceived in your mother's womb. And people were created, each and every one of us, were created to exist forever. We're all a three-part being. I am a spirit. Spirit is your heart, your inner man, your innermost being, all biblical terms. It's where God speaks to you, is in your spirit, in your heart. Then we have a soul, which is our mind, will, and emotions. And our spirit and soul, which are both eternal, they will exist forever in either heaven or hell, depending on what you did with Jesus. They will both exist, spirit and soul, in this body. You have this body. Now, the body is the easy part because we look at it in the mirror every morning and we go, ew. Ooh. And our body's easy to deal with, but we have to keep our flesh under so that we will follow what the Spirit of God is leading and guiding us to do. But we will either exist eternally separated from God by sin or eternally with God through forgiveness and salvation through Jesus Christ. But here's the good news. 2 Corinthians 5:17 tells us it makes no difference what your past is, where you are in your present, what your last name is, how much you've got in a 401k or whether you have one or not, how much is in your bank account, what part of town or what town you're from. The Bible says this: therefore, if any man be in Christ, that means you've received Jesus as your Savior and Lord, you're a new creature. One translation says a new creation, a species that never before existed. God gives you a do-over. You remember do-over? I remember when we were kids playing baseball and somebody hit the ball. Fair, it was foul, it was fair, it was foul. Okay, do-over. We just do it over. Okay, we're not going to go one way or the other. You get a do-over. You get to start over. That's what Jesus gives you. He gives you a do-over in life. And you are a new creation. Why? Because the old stuff's gone. It's passed away. And all things become new. It's new. It's brand new. You get a brand new life. At the end of this service, if you do not know Jesus as your Savior and Lord, I'm going to give you opportunity to do so. We're not going to have you stand up, come forward, sing Kumbaya, tell us your life story. We're all going to pray just together. All of us right there at your seat in unison. And you can make that commitment to God. This is what we were made for. To live eternally and for eternity in the presence of God. We were made to have a relationship with the living God. A living, vital relationship with Him, to know Him intimately. Now, this sermon and this whole series is something very different. Usually, you know, you work a sermon. I come in Mondays, the alleged day off. I call it that because we usually end up doing something, huh, honey? Yeah. And so we call it the alleged day off. But Mondays are our Sabbath, and we do things together and take care of business at home. But Tuesday's our first day back in the office. And that's when I start working on a message. Now, if it's just a standalone message, have it ready for Saturday and Sunday services. Sometimes, though, it's a little easier, like when I did the sermon on Romans, the whole series. Well, week one was Romans 1. Week two was Romans 2. I didn't have to sit around going, what am I going to preach on this week? Oh, I'm going to preach on Romans 3 next week. So that was easy enough. So you had something to work with. But this sermon is totally different. This series is something totally different because I started writing this sermon. I got the idea for this sermon 18 years ago. How many weren't born 18 years ago? You're younger than 18. Yeah, you guys weren't even born yet. And I start this sermon. So right now, this is divine appointment time, boys and girls. It was December 31st, 1999, pre-9/11. It was an exciting day in world history. It was the beginning of a new millennium. Think about this. And my wife Terry and I, we went out for dinner at the Brown Shingle. You remember the Brown Shingle? The salad bar. The deviled eggs. Pudding. They got pudding in a salad bar. I'm in. You know? It's a great salad bar. And we went out for dinner on New Year's Eve. 1999. Then we went from there, we went over to our church building, which is downtown, 4th Street, 4th Avenue, our last church building before we came here. You realize in another week, 10 years in this building, in another week. Isn't that wild? Yikes! Now, we went to the church and I had a special surprise for Terry. I gave her, because when we got engaged, I was 19, I was working at the Sterling McDonald's. How many of you know you can't get much of a ring for your fiance, your girlfriend, working at McDonald's? But, you know, I was thankful for that job, but she had like a fifth of a carat. And so that was the night I gave her a half carat ring in 1999, right up in the pulpit, had the lights on, surprised her. She kissed my whole face. It was great. And then we went to my mom and dad's house, and our three daughters were young girls. Grace, Annie, and Emily were all there. And we were going to watch the festivities on television. All over the world, it was already been midnight in other places. They were showing tape delayed of all these different places. And the first place I want to show you, up on the big screens, turn the volume up. You got to hear this well. It's Paris. The fireworks in Paris were amazing. The Eiffel Tower was on fire. So if we could hit that. Thank you. It's like the Eiffel Tower's on fire. I don't know if they could do that now post 9/11 because, you know, something flames up like that and everybody goes crazy. But it was the coolest thing watching the fireworks displays. It was something the whole world could celebrate, the beginning of a new millennium. And so we're watching the fireworks there, and then they showed Australia. And in Australia, the people of Sydney celebrated. They had a huge party there in the harbor. And the show, it was not only witnessed by 1 million people in the harbor, but over 2 billion people worldwide were watching this live on television. And the video we want to show now is, and I'll just keep talking through it, is the video of the Sydney, Australia fireworks. Check this out. It was really a beautiful night in the harbor there, boats. And I'm watching the fireworks there in Sydney on my parents' television that night. And something intrigued me as the night went on. Now, the fireworks, as you see, are absolutely spectacular. Boats floating there in the harbor. Off to the left is the Sydney Opera House, which is just beautiful and majestic and amazing. Anybody here ever been to Sydney, Australia? Someplace I want to go. I want to go to Sydney. Really, over here. Been to Sydney, Australia. Someplace I always have wanted to go to. And the display of more than 20 tons of fireworks that were lit off from 15 different locations all over the harbor at a cost of a cool $5.8 million. It was very welcoming because it was ushering in not just the year AD 2000, but a new decade, century, and millennium. And then the fireworks finale. And when the finale, I always love the finale, the walnut fireworks or the different fireworks, Dixon's fireworks, the fireworks all over the area. The Sydney Harbor Bridge, like, gets taken on fire. But if you notice, suddenly in the middle of the bridge, a word starts to form. And I remember sitting there looking at it going, what does it say? What does it say? And I think one of my girls says, Daddy, it says eternity, as the smoke cleared. And I looked at it and said, that's what it says. Eternity. Eternity. And I saw it there on the bridge, the largest steel arch bridge in the world. The word eternity just shone across it. It was strange. It appeared seemingly out of nowhere. How did they do that? How did that happen? And there was the word eternity. It was electronically emblazoned across the bridge that night. And I found it curious. The word eternity. It was the beginning, as I said, of a new millennium. A new millennium. For 1,000 years, whenever we wrote, what year is it? And we'd write the year, it was one, and then followed by four other letters. Four other numbers, I should say. 1000. 10001. All the way up to 1964 when I was born. 65, 66. All the way up to 1999. And in 1 second, it was all going to change. In the next minute, in the next second, we would now write two for what year it was. That's what we were going to be writing. And it was all going to change in a second. But what I found the most curious thing was that word on the bridge, that word eternity. And I can remember it like it was yesterday. I was 35 years old, and when I read that word, I thought, why did they put that word eternity? Why is it written that way? Why is the word there? I thought, well, maybe they're thinking, oh, it's a new millennium and we're going off into eternity. I started thinking philosophically. I don't know. But something happened that night. It was like dropping a quarter into a payphone. It was like something just deposited down on the inside of me. Like a seed was planted down in my gut, down in my spirit. And seeing on that word on the bridge stirred something inside of me that night. God deposited something in me, and I did nothing with it. I was never led but to do anything with it until March of 2018. March of 2018, something happened that stirred that seed in my heart. So let's jump ahead from 2000 to March of 2018. A couple in our church, Matt and Kelly Stanley, who are members of our church, had invited my wife Terry and I to go to the Adler Theater in Davenport to see one of my favorite Christian artists, Michael W. Smith. He was in concert. Love Michael W. Smith. And there were some other people from the church that night. Well-known Michael W. Smith aficionado, Laura Underhill. Is she here tonight? Is Laura here tonight? I've heard that when she yells out a certain word, Michael knows it's her. A certain phrase, a certain word. And Jackie Schrader was there as Susan Moore. Anybody else at that concert that night in the Adler Theater? I didn't see you, but... Oh, Donna was there too. That's right. Donna Conrad was there too. And the Fearsome Foursome, they were there, all four of them together. And then my wife Terry and I and Matt and Kelly. And when we walk in, there was already an act opening up, a fellow who I didn't know who he was. He was talented and everything. And he opened. And then the second guy came up, second opening act, and then Michael W. Smith was going to come out. And his name was Nathan Tasker. And he was a musician from Australia. And he told the story of a song. And we're going to hear that story tonight. We're going to hear that song right now. It was called Eternity.
On a busy city street, underneath the moving feet, if you look, you just might see what I see. It's written on the ground, almost lost within the crowd. But it won't stop crying out, eternity. Can you hear it now? Singing out across the city, hear the sound like a symphony, and it's crying out. And every single life that's beating, this is what we were made. Is passing by. I can't help but wonder why. We all live at this, there's only one lifetime. But can you hear it loud? Ringing out across the city, hear the sound like a symphony.
Sang this song. Sang it so beautifully. He wrote the song. He sang the song so beautifully, but he told the story of what this song meant and what this word that you see here in the screen meant. See, what you see here is exactly the way it was written. It's exactly what showed up on that Sydney Harbor Bridge on December 31st, 1999, welcoming the new millennium. But before it was ever written on that bridge, and shone and lit up on that bridge, it had been written on the highways, the byways, the sidewalks, the footpaths of Sydney, Australia, and the surrounding communities, the suburbs of that town, over 500,000 times over a 35-year period. This one-word sermon appeared in perfect, elegant copper plate style. Because somebody was writing it on the sidewalks of Sydney. And nobody knew who did it. They came in the night, wrote the word, and disappeared into the darkness. And people tried to figure it out. It was a mystery. It fascinated many people. And the mystery was, who wrote it? Who's doing this? People would just be walking down the sidewalk, and there'd be the word, eternity. It was an enigma. In the newspapers, they tried to figure out who it was. And several people came forward saying, it's me, I'm the one writing it. And after they did a little investigation, they found out it wasn't true. It wasn't them. It was somebody else. Because the real person who did the writing on the sidewalk kept quiet. They didn't want the publicity. Until one day, it was discovered. This guy, Arthur Stace, a little old man, writing the word eternity on the sidewalks of Sydney and the surrounding area in chalk. He didn't like publicity, but he looked at his unique style of evangelism as a serious mission, something between him and God. And so for over three decades, these eternity signs just mystified people. The question is, where did he come from? Why was he doing this? Who called him to do it? What made him do it? Where did Arthur Stace come from? How was he raised? What was so special about him? Why did God use him? So let's trace his life and pay tribute to the man who became known in Australia as Mr. Eternity. And it came because he entered into a relationship with Jesus Christ, the Lord of eternity. I want to tell you Arthur Stace's story of sin, salvation, surrender, and then sweet victory, and what that means to us. Now, Arthur Stace's past is like many of ours, sinful. He wasn't a choir boy by any stretch of the imagination. He entered the world in 1884 to two drunken parents, lived in a dysfunctional household in the slums of Sydney. And he and his brothers and sisters were neglected. They did not have much. They grew up in abstract poverty. And judging by just the first quarter of his 83 earthly years, and according to his very own words, he seemed destined for failure because of his life, because of his story, because of how he was raised. And as a very young child, here's a wretched day in his condition. He would steal loaves of bread and milk in the morning. He would search for scraps of food out of garbage bins by day. And would sleep on cloth bags under the house at night. His preteen years were terrible. Troubles just shot through the roof. Schooling was virtually non-existent. And by the age of 12, young Arthur had become a ward of the state. And by the time he entered the turbulent teenage years, he was a drunk. His first pay was spent and wasted in the bars and taverns. And years later, by the age of 15, he was sent to jail. Years later, in his 20s, he was employed as a scout for his sister's brothels in the seedy inner city parts of Sydney. And in his 30s, he had a little bit of a temporary relief because he went into the armed services to serve as a stretcher bearer in the Australian Army during World War I. However, as soon as he returned to Sydney after the war in 1918, back to his old ways, back to his old buddies, back to his old bad habits of gambling and drinking. And a few years later, Arthur Stace described in his own words what he had become. He said, quote, I was a petty criminal, a bum, and a drinker of rubbing alcohol. End of quote. It makes you wonder, how did Arthur Stace ever make it? How did he not just die an early, early death? Because there came a turning point in the life and legacy of the man who became known as Mr. Eternity. On August 6, 1930, Arthur Stace wandered into a church. He just wandered in. Off the street, walked in, heard music playing, walked into the church. And the pastor of that church was a man named Reverend R.D.S. Hammond. He was preaching a sermon. And as he listened to the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, being preached, he realized he was lost. Arthur Stace realized he was a sinner, he needed a Savior, and he needed to accept the salvation that only Jesus Christ could offer. After the service, they had a time of fellowship, and he went and had a cup of tea and a rock cake. Arthur then walked across the park to University Park, and he said later that under a big old Morton Bay fig tree, he knelt, repented of his sin, and received Jesus Christ as his Savior and Lord. Arthur said, quote, "I went in to get a cup of tea and a rock cake, but I met the Rock of Ages," end of quote. That's Jesus. The reality of this great and gracious salvation brings with it an automatic change. Jesus gives you that new start we talked about earlier. Old things pass away, all things become new when we call upon the name of the Lord. The significant and spiritual turnaround of a monumental proportion that happened in Arthur Stace's life that started that night in that church was remarkable. Now the old man of sin was dead, and his last will was read. The new man in Christ is delivered from the power of darkness, and he was clothed now in robes of righteousness, destined for a real life and great liberty. Now, what happened to Arthur Stace after that? His life turned around. He grew in his relationship with God. He got a Bible and started reading it. He relied on the strength of Christ in prayer. He shared his testimony of what God had done in his life with other people. He shared it. He exported it. He became an active member in a church, the Burton Street Baptist Tabernacle, which is that church building right there. He got involved in church. And that church building is located, I looked it up on Google Maps, 2.5 miles from the Sydney Harbor Bridge, where that word eternity was emblazoned. So it seems to me that Arthur Stace got saved, got baptized, got into a church, plugged in, got into Bible study, had his personal devotional time with God as well, and he shared his faith. What a concept. You know what that's called? That's called being a Christian. That's called living the life and the calling that God had given to him. You know what? That's exactly what we want to do here for you at Abiding Word Church. It's what God wants to do in your life. It's what we want to help you do with your life. We exist to help people become devoted followers of Jesus. We exist to help people become devoted followers of Jesus who get the Bible basics, live their purpose, and do the eternal stuff. What is it? It is get the Bible basics, live their purpose, do the eternal stuff. Get it, live it, do it. Get the Bible's basics, live your purpose. You each have a plan and purpose that God has for you. And then do the eternal stuff. Now back to Arthur and how he became a street graffiti artist. On a Sunday night, November 14th, 1942, so during World War II, there was a special series of meetings at his home church. That's why it's important to go to the special meetings when you have guest ministers. Ricky was telling us in the announcements about Patrick Norris. Let me tell you something. Patrick Norris is a pastor from down near Kansas City, Missouri. He graduated from Rhema, same Bible school as me, a year before. He is the second guest minister we ever had at our church, 1985. And he's my favorite. He's my all-time favorite guest minister I've ever had. I'd have him in three times a year if I could. But he pastors now, so he can't travel that much. But he's going to rock your world. The men on Friday night and Saturday morning, special meetings. And then Saturday night service, Sunday morning meetings. You won't want to miss it. But here's Arthur Stace at a special meeting with a guest minister. And the minister's name was Reverend John Ridley. And his message was entitled, The Echoes of Eternity. The Echoes of Eternity was the title of Reverend Ridley's message that night. And the message caught the heart of one man in the congregation. I'm sure it blessed everybody, but it really caught the heart of one man in the congregation that night. And that man was Arthur Stace. It just started bubbling on the inside of him. And as a result, it changed the lives of many and challenged the mindset of a multitude. Reverend Ridley spoke from Isaiah 57, and here's what that passage of Scripture says. A message from the high and towering God who lives in, everybody say it, who lives in eternity, whose name is holy. This is God speaking. I live in the high and holy places, but also with the low-spirited, the spirit crushed, and what I do is put a new spirit in them, get them up and on their feet again. See, you might be here tonight and you'd say, well, I'm not a high-minded, educated person. You might be low-spirited and your spirit's been crushed. Well, guess what? That's who God's been called to. He's been called to you, to lift you up. You might be here with a whole bunch of education and your spirit might be crushed. God's called to you as well. He wants to lift you up and put a new spirit within you, as he did for Arthur Stace. On that night, Reverend Ridley stood in his black suit and preached the word of God on eternity. And then he reached a point in his message where he really started to stress that word, eternity. And he pointed out how the echoes of eternity are heard not only in creation and in the heart of the Christian, but also in the cross of Jesus Christ. Then suddenly, he laid his prepared notes aside, and he just started to speak to the assembled audience from his heart. And he echoed the word eternity like a disciplined soldier over and over. He raised his voice loud and clear, and he cried out these words. He said, eternity, eternity. I wish that I could sound or shout that word to everyone in the streets of Sydney. You've got to meet it. Where will you spend eternity? Is what Reverend Ridley spoke. And that night, Arthur Stace heard that message. He heard the message of eternity. And in his heart, he was confronted. He was confronted with sin. Not his own. His sin had been dealt with when he received Jesus as his Savior and Lord. No, that night, he knew his ticket was punched. He said his burden, his concern were for the lost, who had no inkling, who had no thought, who didn't even consider the fact that there was an eternity facing us all. And once more in his heart, Arthur Stace responded to God. He said, I am available. Here am I, Lord. Send me. Now, he didn't know what he was being sent into. He didn't know what God was going to call him to do at that moment. But he said later, quote, eternity went ringing through my brain, and suddenly I began crying, and I felt a powerful call from the Lord to write the word eternity. And all he had on him that night was a piece of chalk in his pocket. That's all he had. He had a piece of chalk. And so I went outside the church and I wrote the word on the sidewalk, eternity. He wrote it. He wrote eternity on that sidewalk, outside of that church on the streets of Sydney. And he said, quote, the funny thing is that before I wrote it, I could hardly write my own name. He hadn't had any schooling. And I couldn't have spelt eternity for $100. But it came out smoothly in a beautiful copper plate script. I couldn't understand it then, and I still can't. You know, Arthur Stace obeyed God, and he lived quite a life. We started looking at his sinful past. We looked at his life and where he came to Jesus in that church. How his life turned around. He got active and involved. He learned, he grew in his faith and in the Lord. But my question for us all tonight is, what were you made for? We are all made for eternity. We are eternal beings with a spirit and a soul. And God has personally written to you a love letter called the Bible to help prepare you for eternity. Jesus said in John chapter 3, "Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again." You know, if the Savior of the universe, the Savior of all mankind, the Son of the living God says, "I must do something," if I must do something, I better find out what it is I must do. What does that mean? You must be born again. Well, very simply, it means born from above. Reborn. He's speaking to Nicodemus here, and Nicodemus says, Nicodemus, an educated man, a member of the council, says, "Born again, am I to crawl back up into my mother's womb and be born a second time? I mean, that'd kill mama. You're a grown man. Ain't happening." Jesus, no, no, no. You're talking physical. I'm speaking spiritually. "Marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again." It's a spiritual rebirth. So what did God do? In and through Arthur Stace, he set him out on an adventure. And for 35 years, he wrote that word. 25 years. 25 years, he wrote that word in the sidewalks and the roads and the byways of Sydney and the surrounding area. But the answer, the question that needs to be answered is, where will we all spend eternity? Where will you spend eternity? Eternity. Eternity. I wish I could sound or shout that word to everyone in the streets of the Sauk Valley. You've got to meet it. Where will you spend eternity? You see, your decision here and now on earth will determine your destiny and thusly your eternity. If you refuse and reject the Lord Jesus, you're going to spend eternity in hell. That's not something grandma dreamt up in the 50s. It's a real place. But if you receive him, you'll spend eternity in heaven and have a life here now that will live on forever, and you'll rejoice forevermore. Here's the plan laid out very simply before I close. The Bible clearly and consistently declares, John 3:16, guy holds it up on the sign at the basketball and football and baseball games. It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave." Notice that God's love gives. God's love gives. It doesn't take, it gives. But God loved the world so much that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting, eternal life. For in eternity, you can have life. That Greek word there for life is the Greek word zoe, which means God's life, eternal life, life everlasting. The type of life that God intended for all of his creation to have, but we became alienated from that life because of sin, of the sin of Adam in the Garden of Eden. And we became cut off from God and from that life. But Jesus built a bridge, and that bridge was called the cross. And if you'll receive him by faith, you can cross that bridge and you receive that life today. Romans 6 tells us this, the Apostle Paul wrote, "For the wages of sin is death." Now when you work, you get wages. You get a check or it's put into your bank account electronically. But when you work, you get wages. You get paid. If you didn't, you get upset. Right? But the wages of living a sinful life is death. And the greatest sin of all sins is rejecting Christ. And if the wages of sin is death, but, conjunction, junction, what's your function? He's not done yet. But the gift of God, there he is given again. For God so loved the world he gave. The gift of God is what? Eternal. Eternity. Eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's how life comes. It's through Christ. It's through Jesus. It's through accepting his finished work at Calvary. Last verse of scripture. Very simply says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How many of you are going to be a whosoever? You're going to call on the name of the Lord. You call on Jesus, he'll save you. He'll save you. I remember meeting with a man in the hospital 20 years ago at CGH. And I knew the guy. He was a rat. He was a scoundrel. He was. He just was. Everybody in his family knew. He was a rat and a scoundrel. And he wanted me to come see him. He's dying. And I go in to see him. And he'd never darkened the door of a church except for maybe a wedding or a funeral. And I went in to see him. And he's laying on the floor. He can't even lay in the hospital, but he's down on the floor on oxygen. He can hardly talk. He'd take a breath and go, yes, no. And I sat down with him, and I shared the gospel of Jesus with him. His whole family's there crying. And I'm in a Cubs cap and a pair of shorts and a T-shirt. It was a Saturday afternoon, back before we had Saturday service. And I'm down kneeling next to him, and I gave the gospel to him. And I said, would you like to receive Jesus as your Savior, Lord? He nods his head. But I'm sitting here. I have a dilemma. I'm going to go, what am I going to do? He can't say the whole prayer with me. He can hardly breathe. And he just went, Jesus, save me. Never forget that. He said, Jesus, save me. He said it on his own. And I said, Father God, I thank you. Your word says whoever calls the name of the Lord will be saved. Man, the glory of God filled that room. Prayed with the family. I left. Hour later, I got a phone call. He had died. He called on the name of the Lord, and God saved him. Let me encourage you today to bow your heart before your Maker and believe in the Lord Jesus as your own personal Lord and Savior and become his child for time and eternity. God wants to work through you. He has great adventures to take you on in this life. He will take the gifts, the talents, and abilities that he has given you and work through you in amazing ways. But the question is, what do you have? What is it you have in your hand? David, when he was a young man, had a sling. He put a stone in it, poof, killed the giant Goliath. Simon Peter had a boat. He offered it to Jesus. Jesus got in it. They pushed off from shore. He preached, and many people were blessed and healed. A little boy had some loaves and some fishes, and he brought them to Jesus, and the multitude were all fed as the loaves and fishes were multiplied. The Apostle Paul had a great intellect, and God worked through him to establish the church in the known world at that time. What do you have in your hand? Arthur Stace had a piece of chalk. He had a piece of chalk. And God worked through that man that in 2018, you're hearing about him today. Hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people saw that, saw the message that he wrote, and got people to lift their eyes off the mundane, everyday problems of this world and start thinking about eternity, about eternal things. By the time he was called to exit this world into eternity, on July 30th, 1967, this little old man, notice it says in his grave, Arthur Malcolm Stace, Mr. Eternity. And then at the foot of his grave, look at the foot of his grave, this next picture. Boom. There it is. Eternity. He had written it over 500,000 times over those years. God used him in a fantastic way, such a simple way. But he was obedient to that call. Now, you know, when Nathan Tasker sang that song back in March at the Adler Theater, he told the story. He showed the photograph of the Sydney Bridge and the word eternity. And here it was 18 years later, and I'm looking at that, and I hit Terry. I nudge her next to me. I go, I remember that. I saw that. And that seed that had dropped into my heart at my mom and dad's house in 1999 as it changed the millennium just started to burst up out of my heart. He told the story. He started to sing the song. And while he's singing the song, everybody else was standing and clapping and singing along. I had my phone out. I downloaded the iTunes song of Eternity to have it for the band, and I ordered a bucket of sidewalk chalk from Amazon. It was exploding. And I told her, I said, I'm going to preach this. I didn't know when, but the time's now. We're going to talk about eternity the next couple weeks. Me next week, my wife the third week, and then I'll wrap it up on the fourth week. Then after that, we're going to start another new series that I've been working on for a couple months, and that's going to be real mind-blowing. It's going to be David. David, rated R. David was not PG-13, ladies and gentlemen. No kids in here for David. Kids need to be in their classes, because we're going to talk about David, his life, and how God used him. On a busy Sydney street, underneath the moving feet, if you looked, you just might see what I see. It is written on the ground, almost lost within the crowd, but it won't stop crying out, eternity. Can you hear it now? Ringing out across this city, hear the sound like a symphony. It's crying out in every single heart that's beating. This is what we were made for. This is what we were made for. In the faces passing by, I can't help but wonder why we all live as if there's only one lifetime. There's another life. Can you hear it now? Singing out across the city, hear the sound like a symphony. It's crying out in every single heart that's beating. This is what we were made for. This is what we're made for. Ladies and gentlemen, you were created and made for eternity. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight, today, that we heard a message to stir our souls to think of eternal things, to lift up our eyes from all of the things around us that try to distract us and pull us this way and that, and get our heart and our mind off of the plan and purpose you have for us. The distractions. Father, help us. Help us, Lord. In Jesus' name. With heads bowed and eyes closed, those of you here in this auditorium and all of you watching online right now, if you're here today and you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, I want to pray with you right now. You can take that step of faith to receive Christ as your Savior. If that's you, pray with me right now. Or you may be here and you say, Pastor Scott, there was a time in my life when I did receive Jesus as my Savior, but for whatever reasons, you maybe walked away from that commitment. And the bottom line is you need to recommit, rededicate your life to the Lord. You want to come home to your Father's house. Here's the good news, friend. God's not mad at you. He's not mad at you. He's welcoming you. He's been waiting for you with outstretched arms, waiting for his son, his daughter, to come home. If that's you, I want to pray with you as well. I invite the family here to Abiding Word if you'd agree with us in prayer. Let's lift our voices together, everybody, to receive Christ, to recommit, and all of us together. Pray this with me, right out loud. Say, Dear God in heaven, I thank you for Jesus. I believe Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sin. I believe he rose from the grave and he's alive today. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Forgive me of my sin. I want to live for you who died for me. And from this day forward, regardless of what comes, I'm going to serve Jesus Christ all the days of my life. I love you, Lord. Thank you for loving me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Everybody look up. Praise God. I believe God's doing great things in your lives. People watching online as well. Thank you so much for being with us here today. My wife, Pastor Terry Porter, is going to come now. A couple announcements. Receive offering. We'll have you out here real quick. Just want to remind you to be back next week for Eternity 2 and bring a friend with you. Remember, Jesus loves you, and we do too. God bless you, everybody. Love you.
Amen.
Well, before I go into everything I need to talk about, just one thing real quick. You know, at the back of our auditorium, we always have prayer partners. If anybody